the box! Oh, what's in the box. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Double Toasted TV show, What's in the Box. I am, of course, DJ Miles, and with me is my friend, co-host, pilot, Christian Torres. Christian, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm well, man. Thank you. I appreciate being called a pilot. I've always wanted to be one, but, you know, I'll settle for being your co-pilot on this show, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, hey, lots of exciting times, again, with Halloween and all the horror stuff happening. You know, it's pretty good to be in this month because there's lots of things I am not a fan of. And with the duty of this show, Christian, you better believe I have to deal with it, you know. So this week we will be talking about The Haunted. We will be talking about The Haunting on Hill House. We will be talking about Marvel's Iron Fist being canceled. What else do we got to talk about? Oh, we got to talk about Batwoman. And we also got to talk about Titans because, you know, Titans, there was a lot of hype with that show, Christian. And we will go ahead and break it down. But before we begin with everything, I just want to go ahead and give a little personal thank you once again to all the Toasties watching and listening through SoundCloud, through YouTube, through the Facebook page, Children of the Toast. You guys are just constantly showing us a lot of love, giving us really constructive criticism on how we can improve and what this show is slowly evolving into, right? Funny story, we've been doing this for a while now, but we feel like now this is the real show, more or less, the meat and potatoes, right? So once again, ladies and gentlemen, we always appreciate your feedback. And again, you know, I feel like I can speak for Christian when I say this too. We really appreciate all the support that you guys have done for us. So thank you. Also, before we begin with the show, I got to give a shout out to all of the official Chat-a-Tat-Tat. How are you guys doing? There's Dolomo. There is Sebastian, which I saw yesterday at the drinking live show. Christian, I don't know if you knew that. There was a live show happening where they just couldn't stop drinking, doing whatever movie they were doing. So Thomas, there's Thomas right there. The Ruthless Wonder, of course. You guys are just all here in attendance. Thank you guys so much. And before we begin, as I smooth out the transitions with the DTMerch.com, eventually, go ahead and go to DoubleToasted.com, the official merch store of Double Toasted. And look at that. We already have new backpacks right there. And we have the Halloween t-shirt design of the month right there. It's a limited edition. So once it's out, it's gone. So go ahead and pick that up. We have it in black. We have it in gray. Ooh, look at that. We have other t-shirts. It's throwing me off, Christian. Look at that. Eat, sleep, double toasted, and repeat. I like that a lot. So go ahead and check that out, guys. There is all the good stuff on doubletoasted.com. And let's go ahead and begin. And before we begin, I don't know if a lot of people knew this. Going in prior to What's in the Box, we had a segment called TV Casualty, and we had a great intro for that. So let me go ahead and just play that just for all of you guys to see. Happened this week, because the only casualty that we will be talking about is none other than your boy Iron Fist. Christian, there's a lot of stuff to talk about with this story, but where do we begin breaking down this story? Hot off the presses, by the way, because you and I, as we were prepping last night, we're like, man, you know, we have to have one more meat and potato for what's in the box. And you know, me and Christian, we're scrambling around. What are we going to do, guys? And then, of course, well, Netflix was just so kind to send us something like this. So, Christian, initial thoughts. How do you feel about Netflix canceling Iron Fist?
First of all, I resent the fact that you said my boy as if I've ever claimed ownership over Iron Fist, right? Fuck that noise. Aside from that, dude, I'm not a big fan of the show to begin with. It wasn't like something that was on my cultural radar. After we got to that like fucking Mortal Kombat episode where he's just going through boss after mini boss, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think I was kind of done with the show at that point. And it's sad because hear me out. Defenders try to course correct, right? Defenders try to make him the butt of all the jokes. Like, yeah, we get it. He's the worst. We yeah. get it. That's season two. Everything I've heard is a vast improvement and didn't fucking matter. Like mm-hmm. there was no amount of damage control that they could do after the fact that would have made that first season leave anyone's minds anytime soon. It's a little bit sad, man. It's one of the original four, but you know, when this partnership first started, there was so much like buzz and goodwill about it. And it's kind of sad to see it fizzle out a little bit. And granted, it's only one character, but still, it's a little sad, right?
Well, you know what's crazy with the whole thing in general is that even when they did the casting, you know, a lot of people were already scratching their heads. And again, it's not like Marvel Disney wasn't getting any flack, right, with the whole Doctor Strange of it all, right, with, you know, casting characters from different races and, you know, cultures and all that into the wrong roles, right? We always thought Iron Fist... Dude, where's our, you know, we need some more, you know, diverse casting. Why are we having a white male play this character? You know, that was already a red flag as if they didn't get enough, you know, slack from the Doctor Strange of it all. And yeah, just seeing this character progress to what the Defenders was. I mean, look at this shit. You know, I mean, it seemed like everyone was pretty much fitting in. And then for people who've seen season one of Iron Fist, listen, I'm not trying to watch USA Suits because I felt like that's what I watched half the season. Oh, and by the way, we will be talking about spoilers for Iron Fist season one and two, if anyone really cares. But, you know, half the season, Christian, you said you saw about what, halfway of it?
I think I saw the first seven episodes of season one, and I was like, yeah, this is not for me. I'm going to take a pass.
I mean, there's a point where I'm watching half of it, and I'm like, we're watching some court scenes happening with people who isn't Danny Rand and all that stuff, and why should I care, and do I care? You know, I mean, they're just – it's a little disappointing to hear with Iron Fist. So because there was so much potential, and even though season two had or improved in many ways of what season one was, ultimately it wasn't enough for Iron Fist to be saved ultimately. So I have a quote here from Netflix and Marvel themselves that says, Marvel's Iron Fist will not return for a third season on Netflix. Everyone at Marvel Television and Netflix is proud of the series and grateful for all the hard work from our incredible cast, crew, and showrunners. We're thankful for the fans who have watched these two seasons and for the partnership we shared on this series. While the series on Netflix has ended, Christian, get ready for this. The immortal Iron Fist will live on.
Well, obviously not necessarily. Unless, listen, man, the language in there says it will not return for a third season on Netflix, right? Disney has the IP, right? So maybe this isn't dead after all. Maybe it's just the end of the Netflix portion of this. And I think Netflix was like, nah, you can have that shit. We don't want it, you know?
No, of course. I mean, yeah. What do you think of that mouse, dude? Of course. You know, there's one of those things I'm thinking. Let me ask you, though, with the success or not success of Iron Fist, do you think a lot of this was, well, hey, we're getting ready for Disney. You know, Disney's getting ready for their streaming service. If this isn't doing that well or as well as we want it to be received, how about let's just scrap this shit. And, you know, I think for Netflix, it was also a loss as well, right? Where they're like, yeah, we don't need this. So go ahead and give it to Disney, you know, and let's see what they can do with it.
No, I mean, the mouse is always looking for more intellectual property, right? So, like, I just feel like it was one of those things where Netflix realized that there was just not enough good buzz about it, man. And again, it's like it's solely the fault of the beginning of season one. I think season one, and I heard even the end of season one was okay. I don't know. I didn't finish it. But the point is this, that like it was just such a bad initial premiere. Like think about Jessica Jones premiere, solid premiere. Daredevil premiere, solid premiere. Luke Cage, solid premiere. Now you can say whatever you want about the seasons in the middle of those and whatnot, but like nothing about Iron Fist was arresting immediately. And I think a lot of it has to do with just the fact that there clearly wasn't care. Like, okay, so this is great, right? So this fight scene, dude, this is a 35-second scene that has 56 fucking cuts in it, okay? Now, like, I was trying to explain this earlier. It's like there's that scene in Taken where homie jumps over the fence and they have to cut 12 times in the middle of it. It's mm-hmm. because you're taking something that's inherently uninteresting to look at and trying to make it look interesting through like edits. And this is the same thing with this fight. Like, there's nothing interesting or even like inspired with the choreography at all, right? Yeah. It's like really, really bland, but they're trying to fake you out by cutting it so many times. And now do me a favor, dude. Compare yeah. that to what? Episode 2 of Daredevil, right? The infamous mm-hmm. hallway scene. Like, oh, yeah. you throw that on, man. That's a wonder. It's a 3-minute one-take shot where everything has to be so perfectly choreographed that if anything goes wrong, you know what I mean? That ruins the entire take. I don't know, man. It's just like you see this and then you see Iron Fist and you're just like, well, obviously there was not nearly as much attention to detail, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny because Iron Fist 2 apparently ended on a huge cliffhanger. But after seeing the trailers that we've been talking about for weeks with Daredevil, it's like I'm at the point now where I'm like, oh, man, you know, the Defenders – I don't want to say it was bad. It was just a huge letdown for me. I kind of just want Daredevil to be in its own stratosphere. You know, like, stop talking about Luke Cage, stop talking about Jessica Jones, right? And I'm not saying those shows are bad particularly, but, you know, now you can't talk about those without mentioning Danny Rand and Iron Fist. And how do you see something like this so choreographed and so, you know, just shot beautifully, right? It's one giant take, and to go into the Iron Fist of it all, you know, with what I played earlier, it is not good, man. And again, even if season 2 was a, you know, a quote unquote huge improvement from the first stuff, again, remember the stuff we talked about in the first episode of season 2 with Iron Fist. I kid you not, people, this is in the first 2 minutes of the show. There's a scene where Danny Rand is like, you know, trying to capture some villains off the street. And then like he punches, you know, he ends up punching someone, right? And then he's like, you better talk. Because you know what these fists can do. And it starts glowing. And you might as well just have looked at, you know, the camera to be like, huh? You see what I did there? What these fists can do? They're glowing because I'm Iron Fist? Huh? You know? Come on, dude. That shit is whack, man. That's whack, man. I don't know. It's disappointing to hear. But I will say this. There might be some silver lining in this, Christian, because if anything, they said there are some speculations here with these two characters that the Daughters of the Dragon spinoff might be starring Colleen Wing and Misty Knight, that Netflix might want to do this because the actress in Luke Cage and Colleen Wing in Iron Fist 2, they did a good job. They weren't problems with the show. If anything, they were one of the saving grace from the shows, right? And I thought Luke Cage was pretty good overall, so.
Yeah, do you remember when I complained about Punisher season 2 and I'm like, man, they made Matt Murdock a secondary character. Like, I cared more about Punisher, more about Karen, more about basically everybody than I cared about Matt Murdock in season 2. And it's just like, okay, I take all that criticism back because like, she's the best part of season 2 of Iron Fist. That's all I've heard from everyone. Like, they marginalized Danny Rand to a secondary character, basically, right? Mm-hmm. But it still didn't save the show. It wasn't, they did like, my God, dude, there was just a gulf between the two shows, man. It was glaring.
Yeah, let's go ahead and see what the chat has to say right now with everyone. Regular white Danny didn't work. May as well make him an Asian guy. I mean, yeah, Darius, that's what we were saying. So the season 2 fights were pretty boring, too. Oh, man. So
yo, shout out to Sebastian because Legion is the best like comic book adaptation on TV. I've been telling you to watch it for forever, man.
You have. You have been. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But, you know, bring it back to the Iron Fist of it all. You know, when you see something like this, you think it was also the executive decision of Disney just saying like, hey, yeah, let's just scrap this shit because whatever was good was okay, but ultimately we can do it better, you know?
So. Well, you know, I think also it's like all the buzz for Daredevil season 3 is really, really solid. Like the best buzz since the first season, which I know is hard to do because it's like comparatively the second season is always going to be usually negatively compared to the first one. Mm-hmm. But people are saying they're really loving the third season. I think maybe it's like, hey, we got rid of the bad thing and we're good again. All right, come back. Like watch the rest of our shows.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And one last thing I wanted to say is, well, now if there is a Defender season 2 or if there's a Luke Cage season 3, because we haven't had any official word on whether or not Luke Cage season 3 is going to happen. But if it does, do you think listen, even if there isn't an Iron Fist season three, that whatever plot lines they had for a season three of Iron Fist might be shoehorned in with the Luke Cage.
Yeah, but just because it's like, well, they're not going to forget that this whole thing happened with this character, right? Although it would be awesome if they did. If like the next like Netflix shows all completely never mentioned Danny Rand again or Iron Fist or any of the like misadventures they went on, that would be the fucking boldest narrative move ever, because Netflix is just going to erase that guy from existence. But since that's unlikely, I think they're probably going to have to at least mention him, have him show up in some of the shows, or at least tie up some of the loose ends.
Mm-hmm. So, all right, guys. Well, that's what we think about Iron Fist being canceled. I mean, hey, a lot of people were saying hooray, hooray, and a lot of people were saying, well, that kind of sucks because there was some potential. But now we know, dude, even in this cutthroat business of TV, where again, Christian, we have to like, we fight amongst ourselves all the time of like, dude, this is what we got to watch. This is what we got to, you know, discuss. And then when you see something like this, it's like, yeah, you got to leave because we can't tolerate some bullshit. But, you know, when you think we're done with the bullshit, nope. You know, there's not enough of it to go around or even end, because guess what? We got Titans. And, man, you and I saw the first episode of Titans, and I don't even know where to start with this. I don't even know where to start with this show.
Let's frame it and then we can get into the specifics. All right. So spoiler alerts for the first episode of Titans. I think that's all there's available, but that's all I've seen. I don't know. Okay. What's the whole premise of this? Right. I mean, it's Raven, right? It's Rachel. Mm-hmm. She's kind of introduces the protagonist, or at least one of the protagonists, and she's troubled and she's got all this other thing and her mom's all scared. And by the way, her mom's played by a lady from Twin Peaks. So that's my Twin Peaks shout out for the week. And then you find out that some people are after her and they want to kill her, sacrifice her, something like that. Mm-hmm. And then she ends up leaving town and she meets up with Dick Grayson, right? Who's working for the Detroit Police Department for some reason. Okay. That's enough table setting. I'm sorry. That was the boring part. Right off the bat, dude, like they'd start with that dream sequence, like the Dick Grayson, the flying Grayson tragedy scene, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Now, I know we saw that in the trailer, but didn't you immediately saw that and there was like zero color? Like, why can you not be dark and also have colors? I don't understand why everything needs to look like it's fucking black and gray. Like that, those are the only two colors DC understands.
Because it's supposed to be dark and edgy, man. And even when we know as people who knows the origins of one of the many Robins, right, with the flying Graysons and all that stuff, and how they even end up doing that scene, it's like, okay, you know, they're in the circus, they're doing this acrobatic stuff, and then, you know, the parents end up dying, you know. Sure. Am I supposed to feel some emotion for that? Well, I think that's the goal that they were trying to aim for. But I didn't feel any of it. And for whatever reason, you know, Raven, which I'm sure they'll explain in later episodes, why she had a dream and why she was so distraught after all of it. And dude, let me just go ahead and say, let me say the good now. I like the actor who plays Robin. The stuff with Starfire, although I just said something about it on Children of the Toast, okay, that was still something I'm like, well, I don't hate it. I just really don't know what the hell is going on with it. But I'm like, I don't hate it. But let's talk about the thing I hate a lot. This actress over here on the right-hand side, she cannot emote to save her fucking life, dude. This is the whole time while I'm watching Titans, this is what she does. And someone put a side-by-side photo. You know, it's... Hold on. The whole time, I'm just like this. My mom died. I'll give you that. Hey, man, feel emotional. I'm giving you that one. But everything else, Dick, when I talk to Dick Grayson, I'm also like this. I'm also troubled. Even when I eat spaghetti, I'm like this. What the hell is going on, man?
Don't bring spaghetti into this. Don't besmirch spaghetti with Titans, okay? Like, I will not stand for that kind of bullshit. No, obviously, she's not great, dude. And, like, let's not forget the best
line. She's so bad! She can't emote. I'm sorry.
The best line of the whole fucking show, right, is after this whole thing, and I know we're doing a shit job, we're not going chronological order, right, but basically, some people are out to kill her. She goes to Detroit. She almost gets killed again. Dick Grayson saves her. They're driving off into the fucking night, okay?
Yeah.
What's the worst line? My mom used to say that there's no such thing as monsters. I think she was wrong. Okay, number one, horrible fucking line. Number two, you are a fucking monster. You're a demon. Like you know that your mom was always wrong. What the fuck are we talking about here? Sorry, I'm really upset about that line. That really fucking upset me,
man. No, and to go back into it, dude, there's a scene where even when it happened, right, the death of her mother, spoilers, right, because it happened 5 minutes in, there's a point where the mother's like, oh, I know there's good in you. And just to show, because, you know, we have to, because sometimes we might forget, Christian, how hardcore DC wants to be with how gritty and nitty they can be with their stuff. I mean, there's a point where I'm like, and this is the point where the mother dies. So the guy ends up shooting the mother in the head. That's fine. But then for whatever reason, when like Raven runs away because like, oh my God, my mother died. I got to run away from the stranger. They're just like a good close like shot of her mother in a, you know, in a puddle of blood. Why? I'm not even saying it's like, oh, that like sickens me. I'm just like, they like just put it in frame for a good 5 seconds to be like, we're dark. I hope you guys are getting ready for how dark this show is. Listen, let me tell you some other bullshit. I have a problem. And this is how the show ended, which Christian, please tell me if I'm wrong. There's a point where we don't even see Beast Boy until the very end, right? And he's like a tiger or whatever, and the cops are coming. Boom, boom, boom. Get away. He gets away. And, you know, we see the whole Animorphs. Remember that show on Nickelodeon, Animorphs? That's yeah. What the CG thing looked like when he was going from the tiger with the CG. Horrible, by the way. So he's going from the Animorphs form to the human form. And what does he get out of his mouth? A fucking Xbox game. And he's like, I got it. And he runs away, and that's how the show ends. I wish I was making this up. Like, I'm just so baffled at knowing there's a team of writers, Christian, and they're writing this whole thing down. They're like, let me write this down, and let me discuss with everyone how we think this show is going to end, or this is how the premiere of Titans is going to end. And you know, at the end of it, and they're like, and Beast Boy grabs the Xbox game and he says, I got it. And that's how we end the first episode.
You're more upset the fact that like six different people had to say, yeah, that's a good idea. And then went to a showrunner who was like, yeah, that's a good idea. And then it went to network and they're like, you know what? Great idea. That's what you're more upset about.
What the fuck? What is going on? Here's the thing, people. I make fun of Walking Dead when it's bad because, to be honest with you, there's a lot of good. There's a lot of good that Christian and I see in Walking Dead. That's why I give it tough love, right? Because I want it to be good. I don't want any TV show to be bad. But this shit in Titans is atrocious. It's just as bad as the trailer promoted. You know how recently, whether it's movies or TV shows, where they're like, it's showing too much. I'm not sure if I should watch it. Watch the trailer for Titans, and then when you're like, that shit sucks, I did you a favor. That's all you have to see.
I feel very conflicted about it because I feel like it's way more competent than I thought it was going to be. You know what I mean? In terms of tone, like it did kind of do something interesting. The Beast Boy of it all is really fucking stupid because they, for better or for worse, they weaved these stories, right? Like we Starfire, man, we just cut and suddenly we're in Austria for no reason, right? We get this whole other story and they're treating her like the fucking Bourne, like Jason Bourne or something. She has no memory and she's piecing everything together. It's a whole fucking thing, dude. I don't know, man. Oh, and the fuck Batman of it all. Why didn't we talk about this?
Oh, yeah, no, I was saving that for last. Go ahead. But I'll let you bring it up.
The fuck Batman of it all, which is like where all the tragedy or all the like the bad publicity that really came from of this, was even worse in the show than it was in the trailer, right? Because he says it after like a fight scene where no one else is around. Like, it doesn't progress the story. It's not a retort to a fucking bad guy. It's literally just fuck Batman for the sake of saying fuck Batman. It's kind of the worst fucking thing I've ever seen.
Dude, it's so bad. And just to rewind 2 seconds, this is how it starts. So, you know, Robin comes, sees a group of villains. He's like, hey, put those drugs away because, you know, drugs are bad, whatever. And then, you know, I love how all the villains, just like how I feel about the show Titans, where's Batman? Because he's the only person that can save this show right now. Batman?
That criminal was speaking as a conduit for the audience. Was like, yo, is Batman coming? Because real talk, I don't want to spend however much the DC streaming app costs to watch this piece of shit show. That's what happened.
And then when it finally happened, they're like, oh, okay, I guess we got to, you know, deal with this. They all get their ass whooped. And then, of course, you know, that then you get the scene of the fuck Batman. It's like, dude, even in context, it's like it's not even necessary. And let me just say this one last thing, and we'll hop over it because I'm done talking about this shit. there's a point where Robin, he's a detective in his day job. And there's a point where, you know, they say he has a partner and he just never had all the right partners in his life, right? So we start off actually one of the opening scenes in Titans where, you know, he gets a new partner, female lead. Don't know who that woman is going to become down the line because I don't really care. She's like, hi, I'm so-and-so. And then, you know, Dick Grayson is like, well, yeah, don't talk to me. Only when I tell you some stuff, you know, you pay attention to me, yada, yada. So then, you know, the new, you know, partner goes up to like the rest of the police crew, right? He's like, oh man, what's wrong with him? Like, has he always had bad partners in his life? Has he always had bad partners in his life? So later on, when they have a dialogue again, because she's like, oh, now you're talking to me? Like, I'm important to you? It seemed like you had a bad partner in your life. Well, I wouldn't even say a bad partner, just someone I used to work with a long time ago. Let's just say we had different ideologies on how to get things done. Oh, my God. You know, it's like, even when you see that, Christian, tell me, am I out of line here with how ridiculous all that shit sounds? Tell me I'm wrong.
There's a lot wrong with it, dude. There's a lot wrong with the show in general. And like, again, there are moments, there are like individual moments that are like interesting, but it's largely taken down by like ridiculousness and trying to adhere to Batman, trying to include him, but at the same time be like, we don't need Batman, right? It's just like, why bringing him up? Why are you making him such a part of the psychology of who Dick Grayson is at this point? You know what I mean? It's kind of fucking dumb to me. Also, what about the scene after the fuck Batman scene?
Okay.
Where homie is straight like, he puts on some sad fucking emo song and like shirtlessly washing the blood off of his little Robin ninja stars. Because that was my favorite part, because we've seen like the Batarang before, right? He's got a Robin rang. And it is fucking stupid as shit, man. I'm just going to be honest.
Chat, what do you think? what did Baby Lotion Mob say? Somewhere out there, the writer of Titans wrote, fuck Batman in a script and thought he was trying some hard shit.
That was his Wire moment. He was like, I just wrote the Wire. I just wrote fuck Batman.
Oh, my God. I mean, listen, I know Corey had a drunk show yesterday, but this is one of those things when I finished watching it, I'm like, should we just do a drunk show down the line, of course, with Corey's permission on this? Because I would love to watch this with you, Christian. Because, man, there's just so much. I'm like, I wonder what Christian's thinking about all this right now. And what is the chat thinking about this? Because, man, Titans, y'all. So just go ahead and check it out. Episode 2 is going to come out next week, and let's go ahead and hop on to the next stuff. So something that is actually good, or maybe not so good, is that we got the reveal of Batwoman, and we got her new costume, Christian, and boom, there it is. What do you think? Ruby Rose donning the cape. Do you like it? You hate it? Let's discuss.
Well, I'm going to, dude, I have nothing to add to this conversation. I just don't like her hair. Everything else looks fine. I don't like her fucking hair. It looks weird to me. I don't get it. It's going to get in the way of fight scenes. Like, it just seems really unnecessary. That's literally the only contribution I have to it. I don't think it says anything overall about what the show is going to be. It's a publicity shot. You know what I mean? So I'm a little hesitant to like judge it too hard. I just don't like her hair. What about you?
Absolutely. I got nothing wrong with it. So let's hop on to the next story. So Netflix put out an amazing trailer for The Haunted. And again, with Halloween around the corner, let's go ahead and show that trailer off.
I have held on to this story for a very long time.
People say the houses are haunted, not people. But that's not entirely true.
There was no human in that body. He was possessed.
Whatever it was, became a little bit more aggressive with me. I couldn't take it anymore.
I was by myself, and I was just jerked away. Things are getting worse. More violent. More evil.
Something is happening. I'm scared.
How do you fight something like that?
You want me to watch this shit?
Well,
nah, dude. What the fuck was that, dude? No, no, thanks, dude. Oh my god. I mean, look at this. I'm gonna show this image real quickly. I ain't got time for that, man. I mean, listen. I'm telling you guys right now. Make fun of me, man. Horror is not my forte, but Christian, convince me otherwise. What do you think about that trailer?
I'll make an impassioned plea for you. So there's this movie I really like called The Nightmare, right? Which was made by the filmmakers who did Room 237. That was like that Shining documentary. Mm-hmm. And what they did is they interviewed a lot of people who have sleep paralysis. And apparently when you have sleep paralysis, I'm not speaking from experience, thank fucking God. You're like in a waking nightmare. You know what I mean? Like things can be happening to you and you're super lucid, but you can't move your body at all. Right. And so what they would do is that they would interview these people and then recreate a lot of the nightmares that they were describing. And at first I didn't like it, just like this trailer. It seems kind of cheesy, right? But there's something about these are real stories. These are real people. And whether they really experienced it or not, they believe they experienced it. Right. And that's really fucking scary to me, man, in a way that a lot of other stuff isn't. Like, you know, compare this to the next show we're going to talk about, right? The Haunting of Hill House. We're not going to go into it right now. But, like, that is a scripted show where really good directors trying to make you be scared of certain scenes, right? This is just trying to appeal to everyone's basic sense of, like, yo, this could happen to you. And I think that that's really, really effective.
Yeah. No, it is. And, you know, when you say that, listen – I'm not saying what you feel or the stuff that you go through. So when you said that little, you know, synopsis of what this show is about, that is something I'd love to look at. Because if anything, I'll even look at it a bit like a character study, you know, and see how these characters go through what they go through. And it's kind of frightening where it's like, yeah, hey, man, I'm saying I saw a ghost. You don't have to believe me, but I saw like it's engraved in my head pretty well. And if this is what I'm seeing... We got ourselves a fucking problem. So, man, yeah, I am very much looking forward to this. And we will be doing a deep dive on this next week with The Haunting of Hill House, correct?
Yeah, yeah. We're going to talk initial impressions of Hill House next. But, yeah, next week we'll have this and Hill House deep dive.
Yeah, awesome. And as we get closer, once again, ladies and gentlemen, if there's anything scary or frightening or, you know, something that is under our radar that we might not discuss or talk about, once again, let us know and email us at whatsintheboxdt@gmail.com. So next up, we will be talking about The Haunting on Hill House. I don't have the trailer to play over me because we'll be doing a deep dive on it next week. But from what we've seen so far, Christian, you've seen 2 to 3 episodes. I saw one episode. You really love horror. And here's the thing, people. Christian... He's seen a lot of horror. He's not scared of a lot of shit. This shit frightened him. And this shit, I'm going to tell you right now, frightened the hell out of me while I'm blasting house music with 20 lights surrounding me. So, Christian, let's go ahead and talk about The Haunting on Hill House, our initial reactions. What do you think and how are they portraying the story of these group of people who experience something? This is something based off a true story, correct?
It's based off a novel. This is not like Amityville, but I guess like it's tangentially a true story. Like everything is technically a true story. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, the whole fucking concept of it is really, really interesting because it's not a direct adaptation of it. They've kind of remixed some of the mythology in the way that like Hannibal remixed the Hannibal Lecter mythology, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm really liking this. And like you said, man, I don't get too scared very easily by horror, but what this does really effectively is like, it's old school horror. It's like atmosphere. It's trying to draw you in and look at every corner of the frame because there are things hiding in plain sight. It's so not dependent on like a bunch of gore. It's not dependent on a bunch of jump scares. Like there, of course, it's horror. There are some of that too. But didn't you feel when you were watching it, like what they're trying to do more than anything is just make you creeped out of that fucking house more than anything else?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the stars in this show is the goddamn house, you know, and they do such an amazing thing. Again, I know I'm no horror expert, but I can still appreciate good storytelling and just set design and the cinematography in this. And the way they do shots in this really is, you know, even if some of it looks like horror tropes where it's like, okay, let's pan to me because nothing is scary and look and see what happens, right? They still find a way, even when that's such an obvious horror trope, it still freaks me out, man. And the things that they do without... touching spoilers on this. And I will quickly say, I love how one of the family members involved in this story, you know, it always has to be white people, dude. It always has to be white people that's like, listen, just to show you that I'm not scared of this house, I'm going to record everything to show you, lady, that, you know, what you're seeing, you're just make-believing. And yeah, there's no such thing as ghosts and all that. There's reasons only white people do this shit, because if it was Hispanic or black people, there's no story at all to begin with. So
yeah, when it's based on a true story, more than likely it was based on some white people doing some stupid shit. But I say that with love. That's all I'm saying. We're Spanish, you know, we're light-skinned Spanish at that. Like, we have to walk a fine line between the worlds. But yeah, man, I don't know. Like, I really like it. And it just a brief synopsis for people who are like on the fence about it. It's about, like, there's multiple timelines, which I think is very interesting. I don't know how much of it. I think they explore that way more in episodes 2 and 3, which you haven't seen, Miles, but
correct.
There's multiple timelines going on. And what you realize is that this family had some horrific thing happen in this house 25 years ago or something. And then the story takes place then and also in the present with all of these people who are obviously broken or fucked up in some way, right? As they have to kind of reconcile with the death of someone in their family. And dude, it's really scary, man. I don't know what else to say about it. Like, it's just really creepy. And the thing is, I really love it's Mike Flanagan. It's one director, right? So when we talk about like American Horror Story, I think that on top of just being poorly written sometimes, just doesn't have the continuity of directors, okay?
Yeah.
Channel Zero, something I'm always praising, one director per season. And you can feel that continuity. Mm-hmm. Same thing with this, man. Like, I've seen a couple episodes so far. And for me, like, it, you can tell it's the singular vision of one person. And it leads to the overall atmosphere and the scare factor, because you can tell, like, the old rule when you're doing horror is like, just try to scare yourself. And you can tell that this guy is genuinely freaked out by the thing he's creating, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, there's a scene. And again, I really don't want to talk too much about it, because I want to do a deep dive on this with The Haunted next week.
Sure.
But there's a scene, there's a particular scene where the father, and this, you know, it's a flashback on, you know, the kids when they used to live there. And he's like, whatever you do, don't open your eyes. And already just hearing that, I'm like, God damn it. Can I just have my eyes closed? Because I don't even want to see the shit that's going to, you know, go down in this. And just knowing that the one of the monsters, or whatever they're calling it, right? The monster for the show is the bent neck woman. Is that correct, Christian?
Yeah, dude. Fucking scary. I mean, I've seen more than you've seen. That's the thing, dude. She haunted me last night.
I mean, just already saying that, you know, I remember, you know, it's kind of cute to look at it now where it's like, oh yeah, the chupacabra was a thing. But when you tell me now the neck bent woman or whatever, I'm just like, God, that doesn't even sound good. I'm already freaking the fuck out right now. You know, and the way they go about that scene and how it happens is amazing, man. And then, you know, you feel the kids. And that's the thing. Unlike Titans, you know, these kids can actually emote more than one facial expression. And they can actually do lots of things to make something very cohesive, right? And it's truly frightening when you see all of them getting freaked out. And, you know, they look at the father and they're like, where's mom? Where's mom? You don't want to look at a baby girl right now, okay? So let's get the hell out of here. And once again, I cannot wait to talk about it next week, because there's so many things to dive into this. And again, I just want to just shout out one more time. The cinematography in this is amazing. What they do with the sound, you know, when they want to make something tense, or when they kind of even want to make you relax, it's all done masterfully. And yeah, let's go ahead and see what the chat has to say right here. Ruthless Wonder, what are you saying? I like some good dread like the next guy, but give me some existential dread mixed with hallucinations. So, Christian, before we jump off this, where you are with the show, is there some of that? Is there more hallucinations happening as the story progresses?
Yes and no, because you don't know what to see. Like, are they hallucinations or are they hauntings? You know what I mean? And I guess that's kind of subjective, because they're like, there's a character, again, not spoilers, watch the show. It's definitely worth your time, I promise you. But everyone's fucked up in their own way. So one of the kids is a drug addict, and maybe he sees things that may or may not be there because of that. Like, they play with that line of whether, you know, it's real or whether someone's imagining it. That's their way of processing grief and whatnot. Yeah, man. I mean, visually, it's some of the scariest shit ever. Like, all I can say is like demonic animal shit coming up. So if you're ready for that, it's going to be horrifying. That's all I can say. I mean, go watch it, man.
Well, thanks for giving me something I do not want to do homework on for next week. But on a lighter note, wow, let's go ahead and talk about something that I feel like everyone has to watch, and it's another animated series on Netflix. It's called Big Mouth. If you haven't seen it, it stars Nick Kroll and a cast of a group of adolescents in seventh grade and dealing with puberty and all that stuff. And I have the season 2 trailer right now, so let's go ahead and play that.
Nick?
Boobs.
Boobs. I'm coming in hot. Real hot. I'm going down.
I have to go to the bathroom right now.
Nailed it.
Why is everybody so obsessed with boobs? How would you guys like it if girls looked at your dicks all the time?
That'd be awesome.
Nick's penis is comparable to that of a baby.
Why am I out?
I'm not growing. Is there something wrong with me?
Are we just a couple of freaks?
My mom says real beauty is on the inside.
So is your colon, and that's packed with crap.
I just don't think boys care that we're smart.
Watch out.
We live in a society that fixates on the female form in a psychologically decimating way.
Boo, feminism!
I can't be horny and still be a decent guy.
Shame. Shame.
Oh, who are you?
The Shame Wizard!
Oh, fuck.
1, 2, 3. My girl's parents are going through a divorce, and she needs to act up!
Go to your room!
I'm already in my room!
You go to your room!
Fine!
That was beautiful.
No, no!
I'm just trying to be normal.
Oh my God.
Nick felt I'm Gina.
We are gossiping.
Oh, ouch!
What did you just say? You're a slut.
This is vodka.
Hey, listen, you want me sharp or what?
Me into the toilet. I don't want someone to come in here and be like, ew, loose pube.
Goodbye. I'm never gonna forget.
That trailer makes me feel weird, man. I don't know. This whole fucking show makes me feel weird.
Oh, man. Dude, I love it. I absolutely love it. You know, this is kind of one of those things where when they introduce, you know, you think of something like South Park where it's like, oh, it's animated. But, you know, now South Park now in season 22, it's like they're trying to make, you know, whatever statements is going on, you know, in real life and all that stuff. Right. And then you get something like this show and it doesn't hold anything back on the adolescence of teenagers and the conversations that you have. And, you know, I think something with me on why I think it's so great is these are things I remember talking about, right? Like, you know, it's, I don't know, it's like, oh, hugging a female for the first time in middle school or high school, and you're telling your friends, yo, I just hugged that girl, and they're like, what up, you know? And it's just stupid stuff like that. It's stupid humor like that. And I think it's so funny because Nick Kroll breaks the fourth wall with it from time to time, you know, and he acknowledges how something crazy and stupid a show like this could be, right? So you end up following pretty much four characters, and let me see if I have the image right here. Nope, not the characters of the Defenders, but well, while I pull that up, let me see here. Pull it up. Or, you know what, while I pull it up, Christian, what are your initial reactions? Because I've seen about 4 or 5 episodes. So what have you seen so far that you liked in Big Mouth?
I mean, I like all of it because I really like John Mulaney and I like Nick Kroll. Like, I like the creative team. I think they're really cool. The problem is, like, all of it makes me feel weird and I'm not sure why. I'm like, I usually yell at Nick, our boy Nick Diaz of the Midnight Chat Attack, because he seems like really sexually repressed. Like, anytime there's any kind of sexual innuendo, he's like, I didn't need that in my story. For some reason, it freaks me out. Like, there's a scene in season one where Nick Kroll's character is talking to his parents and they're like very, very candid about all of it. And maybe it's just because I had weird parents who did not, like, I learned, everything I learned was like fucking public school, like health class. Like, my parents were not talkers, you know what I mean? So for me, it's just a really, like, a little too close to home show, but it's very funny, man. I think it's hilarious. It's just, it's rough. You know what I mean? It, you, like you said, it's not It's not holding anything back.
Yeah, and I think that's what I absolutely like about it. You know, so we follow these group of adolescents, and there is actually, with all the humor aside, I mean, they still try to tackle some issues that any kids at those age can go through, right? You know, we see Jessie here, the one with the red hair. She's going through or trying to figure out how to accept her mother is getting a divorce from her father who lives in the basement of their house, right? Because he got punished, you know? So we find out in the season, well, how does she cope with that, right? You know, she tries drugs for the first time. You know, she steals, right? You know, you get Nick, who's, you know, played by and voice acted by Nick Kroll, right? He's the smart, you know, kid who's not going through puberty just yet, but he seems like he's the one who has most of it calm and collected in terms of, you know, what happens as the story progresses, right? You have someone like Andrew over here where, you know, he's the kid with the mustache where he's too overly developed, right? And then you have Jay, the Hispanic, where he deals with his mom and, you know, just a neglectful mother. And how does he cope with that? He plays with magic cards, right? And he does magic. And then, you know, he tries to cope with potential father figures because there's a scene where one of the teachers ends up sleeping with Nick's mom, you know? So, or not Nick's mom, Jade's mom, you know? So although there's a lot of humor in this, there are things that I feel like in this show and how these kids experiences that kids deal with at that age, you know, and I think that's why I think it's super funny, super effective, and again, because it doesn't hold back, I think that's what ultimately makes it even a greater show.
I think it's the anthropomorphized puberty monster that does it for me. I'm just like, it's fucking weird. Every time I see it, it makes me feel weird, man.
Yeah, so let me go ahead and just show you guys again. I mean, even looking at something like this, it's like, oh man. I don't know out of context what is going on here, but again, they have no holds bar. And dude, I think Nick Kroll just does a phenomenal job with the voice acting. Nick Kroll has he does one of the voices in this called Lola, one of the teenage girls. And I just want to play a clip from it because you can just tell, I don't know, that I think why I enjoy it so much more is that when you see the cast, you know, having these dialogues within one another, it just seems like they are doing takes and stopping because it's just so ridiculous and over the top. And when I'm laughing out loud, I'm like, man, I wonder when they're recording this, how they kept themselves with a straight face because it is so ridiculous. So let me go ahead and play a clip real quickly for you guys. Well,
we've had a very special day together, but I think perhaps we'd be better off as friends?
Wait, hold on. What? Are you, like, breaking up with me?
Don't think of it that way.
I thought we were, like, genuinely, like, a good couple.
No, Lola, don't cry.
But you're, like, weak and boring and, like, a nobody. What does it mean that even you don't want to be with me?
Let's not ask ourselves these hard questions, but I really do hope we can be friends. Lola, you're hurting
you
me.
You sleazeball! I rub fronts with you, and then you just, like, dump me like a dump truck.
I'm gonna end it right there, but I mean, I see something like that, I don't know why I laugh. You dump me like a dump truck. I don't know, maybe just me, but I enjoyed it a lot. So again, if this isn't something that you guys never heard of, please go ahead and check it out. I think it's funny. And they're quick binges. They're only 30-minute episodes, 10 episodes a season. Season 2 just came out. Season 1, obviously, is still on Netflix. Let me go ahead and see what the chat has to say. Let me go ahead and pull this up. Let's see. I swear she's not... Yeah, Todd, Jesus, that voice. I don't know. I mean, I love it, so... But go ahead and check that out. And where are we on time, Mr. Torres? So we got about 5 to 6 minutes left here. I know we had a few more things I just wanted to quickly to discuss. And one of those was Ozark is getting a season 3 renewal. Christian, I know, you know, you were still a little on the fence about the show ultimately, but what did you think about, Ozark? And now that we know a season 3 is coming.
I like the tweet. Jason Bateman came out and said, I'm really happy for the renewal, but I'm very scared for Marty, which is his character. And like, dude, I don't know. Like I said, that show has moments of brilliance. I just think that like it needs to be like 7 to 8 episodes. It doesn't need to be 10 episodes. They can't fill a whole season with content. But aside from that, like, they ended it in a really interesting way. Like, it looks like Laura Linney's character is kind of Breaking Bad, to steal a phrase. And yeah, I mean, it seems like it's getting progressively dark, and I just hope that they can do more of the stuff I really like with it. Less of the fucking teenage daughter, just less of that. Like, she's the fucking worst. But yeah, other than that, I'm, you know, cautiously optimistic, man. Mm-hmm. And I know you love it. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm excited. It seems, one of those no duh for me, although I know you weren't totally in love with it as much as I was. I'm super happy to see where the story of Marty Bird and the Bird family continues. And I'm curious to know if season 3 will be the last season. But, you know, I think right now with just them announcing it, you know, we can just all kind of rest easy. And wherever they go, you know, this ultimately feels like a story. And I guess we'll see what happens in season 3. But I mean, this looks like a show that can really be tying its loose ends and everything with 4 or 5 seasons max. How do you feel?
It doesn't seem like something that's supposed to run for a very long time. It seems like there's a very finite story here. So I hope that they kind of adhere to that, not stretch it out for the sake of stretching it out.
Mm-hmm. And also we have Kidding got renewed for season 2 as well. This is a show me and Christian, we cannot talk about enough because, again, just seeing Jim Carrey play, right, the guy who has the television show where he has to put on this facade. And, you know, maybe at times we feel like he really means it and he always means it. You know, we slowly see the chip of what happens when you piss off the nice guy for too long, Mr. Friendzone, and you end up getting a character like Jim Carrey in Kidding. And again, this is an easy binge. Right now, there's only 5 episodes and they're 30 minutes apiece, but I'm so happy that this has a season 2 renewal. Christian, are you excited knowing that they got a season 2?
Yeah, beyond excited. One, because I think Michelle Gondry is going to come back and direct some more episodes in season 2. Two, because this is a show that I was genuinely worried might be too weird for people and wasn't going to get picked up. You know, mm-hmm. It can't be a cheap show. You have Michelle Gondry on board. You have Jim Carrey. Like, they're obviously making some money. All right, Monkey Daddy in the chat. Listen, man, this show is really, really great. I'll give you a brief synopsis because he says he's never heard of it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, go ahead.
It's a show on Showtime. It's really good. It stars Jim Carrey and he's playing like a Mr. Rogers type. So he's a children's television host who has to be happy all the time. But in his personal life, he just lost a child. He's separated from his wife. Like, his life is unraveling while he has to continue to play this facade and the worlds are starting to blend together. It's really amazing. It's by the guy who did Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. We showed a clip, last week, right? 2 weeks ago, where they showed how they did a one take, and they changed the set like 5 times in the course of 60 seconds. It's amazing. I can't recommend it highly enough, and I'm really excited we're going to get a second season.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of things, this show likes to tackle that it doesn't hold back, right? You know, and something they even present with the portrayal of Jim Carrey here, right? You talked about how one of his child ended up dying and he wanted to do an episode on that, right? With the puppets and to show kids at an early age. And I still think it's very important if you think about it, Christian, that yeah, death shouldn't be something, you know, not something we should let children avoid all the time, but something just for them to learn that this is what life is all about, right? You know, there's ups and downs. And although it's okay to shelter your kids from some things, obviously, you know, there's also important things I think they should learn. And it's probably important that they learn it from the people they trust the most. And for this show instance, it would be Jim Carrey and the parents.
Yeah, man. And that's like a really interesting thing, man. He's just trying to relate it to this kid's thing. And even though his life is unraveling, he never stops being. I think the interesting thing here is that he is always Mr. Pickles, right? And that's like the weird dichotomy that he has to try to deal with, where he, like, it's not when he's off screen, he's some whiskey drinking, cigar smoking asshole, right? He's still that incredibly nice person who films in front of things. And it's just hard for him to try to, you know, process that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, dude, it's just really, really good, man. I cannot recommend it enough. Monkey Daddy's like, I'm sold. So I'm glad we did our job today. We got someone else to watch Kidding.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, dude, and season 2 is going to come out next year. And again, you have half of a season left. I'm pretty sure there's 10 episodes of this first season. So watch it. It's on Showtime, wherever Showtime is available, and check it out. It's really great.
Awesome. So let's go ahead as we near the end, everyone. Let's go ahead and check out the emails. And let me pull this up right here. So we have one question for the show for you, Christian. It says, Hey guys, what's the odd of you guys watching the live action Bleach movie? Now, listen, I'm more into anime and all this stuff, and I know, you know, that is a live action thing. But in terms of doing Netflix stuff, I think we might actually be doing some stuff because, you know, Corey Martin just has so much on their plates. And, you know, with Sammy watching retro reviews, you know, we need to focus on the new, Christian. So I think it's cool, again, ladies and gentlemen, that this show is constantly evolving and we want to cater to you. So if you want us to do Netflix movies, yeah, I mean, I'm on board. I'm not sure how a live action Bleach movie would do, you know, because there was also something with the Death Note, and that wasn't necessarily too great. But now I'm rambling because Christian has Death what the hell are you talking about? Anime.
No, I know what it is. I mean, see, Death Note is sad because that's Adam Wingard, who I do like as a director sometimes. Like, he did a shitty job with Blair Witch Project and apparently did a shitty job with the, was it Death Note you said? Almost a Death Wish. That's wishful thinking. But yeah, man, so I know what it is. I don't, like, here's the thing. I'll watch anything. Just be aware that I will talk mad shit about anything that's anime related. So as long as you're cool with me tearing it apart, then I'm in. I'm in always.
I mean, listen, after Titans, I just don't know how low the totem pole can be with bad. It's like that show told me today. Oh, yeah? But anyway, I digress. Let's go ahead and okay, Sebastian actually has an email here. Or not an email, a question. Hey, Miles, tell the audience your opinion on My Hero Academia movie that we talked about last night. Okay, well, real quickly, here's the thing. I thought the movie was okay. And Christian, you know, just go ahead. Just relax
boo.
A bit.
It's just anime. Blanket boo. All right, go
boo, on. Yeah. I thought the movie was okay. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. The movie started off really strong because they promoted the movie by saying, we're going to have more backstory with All Might. And for Christian, if you don't know, All Might is pretty much like the superhero or the Superman in the anime. So it's pretty much an anime about everyone who has superpowers, and there's, you know, heroes and there's villains, right? Pretty easy. Everyone has their own individual superpowers and all that. And all you need to know is for this movie, they were promoting All Might, who's pretty much the Superman of the world. We were going to learn a lot of more back stuff with him and the name of his attacks and why they called him that. And the movie started off really strong. And then, of course, it just went into a typical anime show where it's like, oh.
A boo. It became a boo fest.
Yeah, it became a bit of a boo fest. And then out of nowhere, it's like, okay, there's some great moments, you know, character, chemistry with, you know, some of the characters that we know and love from the My Hero Academia cast. But ultimately, you know, I still walked away. I'm like, oh, that was a really good, like, filler episode. You know, I wish I got more of the backstory for All Might because that's why I wanted to see it. I can't really explain for anyone else.
Well, how was your theater experience? Did you like, was it, did you have a great experience to begin with?
Well, that's what I was about to get to right now. So, oh man, listen, it's hard to defend anime fans sometimes, right? Like, I'm a nerd. I'm a pretty big fucking nerd, okay? And I have no problem showing that. And when I'm watching the anime and there's moments, right? Just like in any movie theater experience, right? You laugh at something that's supposed to be humorous, everyone laughs. If it's sad, you're supposed to be sad or not talk, right? But anime fans, it's like they're all making inside jokes amongst one another. And there's a character in the show, Christian, because, you know, it's anime, where it's a perverted, you know, guy who likes boobs, right? So there's a character that's like, oh my God, look at this girl. She's dressed so hot and her, like, you know, her boobs are popping out. Tee hee hee. Right. And it's one of those things that, like, you kind of chuckle at. But then just some of the anime fans on there, they're like, yep, that's that one guy. He's perverted. Yeah, I know, bitch. I watched the fucking anime. I know. Shut the fuck up. And then there's just other stuff like that, too, where there's like, oh, there's the really tough guy, right? His name is Bakugo, right? And he has nitroglycerin as one of his attacks and, you know, just all this exploding shit. And he's just really hard to defeat. And a lot of people are like, oh, man, he's really tough. And I'm like, I know, because I watched the anime. I know. You know, you're going to, you know, just.
You know, a certain word comes to mind. Boo. Just fucking boo. It sounds fucking horrible, and I don't know why you're wasting your life. I'm going to be honest. You only get one life. That's time you'll never get back, Miles. God damn it.
I enjoyed it. But ultimately, the movie theater experience, anime fans, calm down, right? I get it. We've all watched Pokemon. Listen, I'm going to be the first one to watch that Dragon Ball Z Broly movie in December, and I'm going to fucking rage, and I'm going to yell like a Super Saiyan when those moments in the movie allow me to do it. And laugh at Yamcha, because Yamcha is always fun to make the point to laugh at, right? So anyway.
Yeah, Yamcha is the Iron Fist of the Dragon Ball Z universe, you know? They're just to make jokes about, basically.
Yeah, he is. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's okay to laugh at those moments because we all understand the inside jokes. I know you wouldn't be watching a Dragon Ball Z moment if you weren't going to laugh at, you know, Yamcha or, you know, get excited when we see Super Saiyan or even Goku, you know, on screen. Anime fans, calm the fuck down, okay? Calm down. I get it. You watch the show. I watch the show. I don't have to show off to the world my encyclopedia knowledge of it, right? Like, I'm not going to watch the Dragon Ball Z movie and be like, oh, yes, I see they referenced Vegeta when he was evil Majin Buu during the Buu saga 15 years ago in this moment in the course of Dragon Ball Z. If I said that out loud, someone would be like, yeah, motherfucker, I know. I saw the show too. Shut the fuck up.
Listen, anyway. You should Yamcha that motherfucker. And I'm only saying that because Monkey Daddy made Yamcha the verb. Like, you can do that to somebody. And that's impressive, man. So I guess, if anything, anime has given me that.
No one likes to get Yamcha. And on that point, let's go ahead and end the show. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, thank you so much for joining us here. I am DJ Miles. Remember to send in your questions to What's in the Box. DT@gmail.com. You can find me on Instagram at DJ Miles Music. Christian, where can they go ahead and find you at?
Instagram, Christian.monster, Facebook, Christian Leon Torres, and Torres the Lion on Twitter. And I'm sorry I couldn't consolidate them. I'm not cool like Miles, but you can find me there. I'm friends with some of y'all. I want to be friends with all of y'all. So hit me up.
Sweet. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, go ahead and email Corey Coleman at kcoolmans@gmail.com. Hit up the Instagram page, Double Toasted fan page, and facebook.com/Double Toasted. I wonder if I'm forgetting anything else. Nope, I think I got everything covered. So until then, we will be back next week. And let me go ahead and find this outro song. And here we go. Guys, thank you so much. We'll see you next week.
What's in the box?